All righty, we're going to get ready to transition and turn the service over to Brother Jim and Sister Carla Barbarossa. And they're fired up. They've got their team with them from Canada. And so let's just pray a blessing over them. Let's extend our hands. Father God, we thank you for your anointing upon each one of these lives. And Lord, for what they bring today to River of Life, to this family, to this house, let it be seated today in our hearts. Let it take root in our lives, Father God, as they share about the evangelism and reaching people who need to smile. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us so much. And Lord, where much is given, much is required. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father, for stirring us up today, Lord, for evangelism with the gospel of the kingdom. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's give them a warm welcome as they come today.
Testing. Okay. Welcome to River of Life Family Discipleship Sunday. Carol Ann, I want you to stand up just for a moment. Is there anybody here that has just been wanting to get out of the boat for Jesus? I mean, you just want to go out there and do dynamic things for God? Is there anybody like that? If that's you, I want you to talk with Carol Ann after the service, and I want you to ask her specifically how God is taking her on adventures with her shofar as he sends her into secular settings like restaurants and businesses to sound it. So get with her after the service if you want to be one of them kind of people. Amen? One of the other things I want you to know before we get started, everybody you're going to hear from today was at a point not long ago where they struggled to share their faith. But today, they're dynamic witnesses for Jesus. All it takes is a little bit of practice. Amen? And before we go any further, let me say this prophetically. There is somebody here today that you've been battling with this idea of writing out your testimony. You sense God telling you to do it, and you sense that other guy telling you not to do it. The other guy's telling you, keep it hidden and keep it in the dark. Don't share, because something will be bad about it. I'm telling you today that if you bring it into the light, you will be set free. And as you hear some things said here today, there is somebody in this house here right now, God's going to speak it to you in such a way, deliverance is coming this day, and you will write your story to the glory of God. Amen? So one of the things that we like to do during these family discipleship Sundays is we like somebody to come and share their salvation testimony. Tully, would you come? We do these in a 3-minute time frame, which is quite hard, and you have to practice for it, but you can become very good at it after a while.
I want to know the sun can rise on the ashes of a broken life. It really doesn't seem like that long ago when I was listening to that song in the middle of the night. Everyone was sleeping, but I was in withdrawal. I had not slept in days. My legs would not stop moving. I was sick to my stomach, and my anxiety level was sky high. My only hope for freedom was in God. I lay there with a loneliness, completely helpless. I thought back to the dark and ugly places of my life, the strip clubs that I had worked in, the endless getting high and looking to get high, the men that came in and out of my life, and the love they said they had for me. I thought of my 3 children and how I longed to be a normal mother to them. My heart overflowed with guilt. Just months before my oldest daughter had moved in with her father, she was very angry with me. I thought about the man that was sleeping in my bedroom. I watched him become a crystal meth monster in months. Drug dealers were coming in my house in the middle of the night to deliver the poison. My God, life had spiraled out of control. I cried out to God. God was listening, and I could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He said to go. So over the next couple of weeks, a lot of drugs and a big miracle, we left the state of Arkansas to follow the Spirit of God to Indiana. We arrived in Indiana with two small children. We had escaped from meth dealers, but I continued taking pills. One night, I took a lot of a drug called Adderall. I went into a psychosis and was completely out of my mind. I called the police on myself, and they took me to the hospital. I lost a chunk of my heart that night when the state took my children into custody. My 18-month-old son was placed with his grandmother close by, but my 4-year-old granddaughter was sent back to her biological father in Arkansas. That was the turning point in my relationship with God. My heart was contrite and broken. Over the next year, I completely surrendered to God. I read the Bible every day for hours and hours on end. I went to church every Sunday and even on Wednesday and Thursday. I talked to God and prayed continually. I began to take his word seriously, and I had conviction about sin in my life. Slowly, the Lord began to deliver me from sin. With prayer and total dependence on God, I quit smoking, I quit drinking, and I quit every sort of drug. I got married. I asked God daily to forgive me for the sins I was convicted of, and I told him I needed him to help me. He began to deal with my mind as I continued on in his word. I forgave myself and others. I noticed that my thoughts were very negative, and I came to the knowledge that this was the work of the enemy over many years. God began a work transforming my mind with his truth. As I believed God for his word, he started to fulfill his promises. After 1 year, the state of Indiana returned my son to me. Shortly after, I was reunited with my daughter for the first time. It was bittersweet. The court had given her father custody, but my visitation rights were reinstated. God began to restore my relationship with my older daughter as well. She was very merciful and forgiving to me. My marriage with my husband blossomed as we sought the things of God. Our family prayed together, worshiped together, and read the Bible together. God has restored our joy. Today, I am free. I am no longer a slave to sin. God has truly given me the desires of my heart. Besides having a faithful husband and a God-loving son, God has given me a fourth child whom he named Bella Grace, which means beautiful grace. Aww. I can see Jesus in my little Bella. Sorry. When just at the right time she says, God is faithful, praise the Lord. My heart rejoices when my son tells me to share my testimony with a stranger. I am elated when I hear my children singing Christian songs, and I love it that they are dedicated with me in prayer. I spend my time serving the Lord. I give my testimony to people every day. The joy that I feel when some of these people call me or email me is incredible. Because of my obedience to share my testimony, I have been greatly blessed. I stand here now to tell you that with Jesus, the sun can rise on the ashes of a broken life. I have been reborn.
Good job. That is a captive who was set free. She is totally free today because she was willing to share her story to the glory of the Almighty God. Last time we were here, we shared about books and how you should carry two of them with you and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to give them away. And he will when you ask him. We taught about the subject of as you go love, and we ask you to practice since we were here last through today. Loving someone. In a little bit, I'm going to ask for a popcorn testimony, and my hope is that somebody from this church will run up here and give that 2-minute popcorn testimony when I call upon you. So be ready. That's coming here in just a very little bit. But we're going to go into our first speaker for the session today. And our session today, the topic is, as you go, hear and obey the voice of God. And that is Carol Ann.
As you go, hear and obey. In John 14:15, New Living Translation, it says, if you love me, obey my commandments. In John 14:21, it says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them is one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal my mysteries to him. First, I need to know that Jesus loves me. Because I am confident that Jesus loves me, I know that what he is saying to me is trustworthy. God is pure love. He is good all the time. Everything he does for you and for me flows out of his love. Everything I hear my Father say to me through his Holy Spirit is always to the benefit, to my benefit, and to bring good. When I hear God's voice and obey him, my obedience allows God's kingdom to advance. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows, James 1:17. When I hear God asking me to go up to a person to pray for them, demonstrate an act of kindness, give them an encouraging word, give them a real-life testimony book, or even praying healing over them, God's love gets released to them. One time I was in a grocery store and I saw this lady, she was quite an elderly lady. Holy Spirit asked me to walk over to her and ask her to allow me to take her groceries to her car for her. God's love was released on her on that cold, rainy day. God told me to give her a real-life testimony book. This lady was amazed that somebody would do that for her. She experienced God loving on her through the act of kindness and through the story, my story, in the book and all the other stories. At my workplace, I was being persecuted and falsely accused by my boss. One night, Holy Spirit told me that I was to give my boss a copy of my story. That would be career suicide, I cried out. I decided to obey, even though it could cost me my reputation and even my job. I felt like Esther. If I perish, I perish. God told me he will use my testimony to lead my boss to repentance and to a personal relationship with himself. Make hear and obey a lifestyle. When I awake, I desire to be just like Jesus, being totally obedient to my Heavenly Father. And I pray every morning for God to set up a constant flow of divine appointments to share his love with everyone I meet, to reveal his heart to me, and to have me operate in a lifestyle of obedience. Because I have surrendered myself to Holy Spirit, he is able to flow freely through me. When I go up to a person without the leading of the Holy Spirit, the encounter does not flow as smoothly and does not have the same effect. When Holy Spirit leads me to approach a person, there is a supernatural flow. He shows me what to say to them and the effect is so powerful because they feel a connection and the love of Jesus is released on them. Hear and obey, even when the enemy tries to scare you out of doing what you were asked to do. Even when the enemy is trying to stop you from doing what God has asked you to do, that's when you know you are on the threshold of doing something great, powerful, and spectacular for God. The enemy is trying everything he can to stop you from progressing because he knows that breakthrough is going to be to emerge through you. God was after me to write my story for some time. I put it off because of fear. After missing several deadlines, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, unless you write your full testimony, your story will have no power and you will have a constant wrestling inside you. So I wrote about my eating disorders. I wrote about the fear of people and the abuse in my life. When I finished, a wonderful peace came on me because I was obedient. Next came the actual printing of my story. When it was time to send the final edit, I was struck with panic. The enemy heaped a pile of lies on me to cause me great fear, so much so that I called Jim and asked him to remove my story from Real Life Story, Volume 6. The enemy loves to inflict fear on God's people so that they will disobey God and not carry out what he has asked them to do. Holy Spirit prompted Jim to send me a short but powerful text that basically said, to the degree the enemy is tormenting you, your story will powerfully impact lives. He also said, until your story is released, fire will not fall in Brantford, my hometown. And that is exactly what happened. By my obedience in writing my story in Volume 6 and releasing it, having it put in this book, having it read out loud in my church, caused Jen, Dan, Sue, her son, 12-year-old son Eric, Veronica, who's here today, and her cousin Roslyn, Carol from Charlotte, North Carolina, Carolyn from Newfoundland, Canada, to write their stories, all for God's glory. Because I obeyed Holy Spirit and wrote my story, 6 people in my community wrote their story, and they are all in the new edition of Real Life Testimony number 7, and you can read all 7 of them in here. Was it easy to do? No. Was it worth pushing through the fear and the pain? Yes. Was it eternally worth it? Yes. Many lives have been saved and transformed, all for God's glory. Because one person listened, heard, and obeyed the voice of God, several others have written their story for the glory of God. Write your story. If God is prompting you today, speak to us. Say yes to Holy Spirit. Write your story for God's glory. There are many people waiting to hear your story. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, it's popcorn testimony time. Is there somebody from the house, from here, who has a testimony? You got 2 minutes to do it. Come back here. First hand up.
You might run to her.
Yeah, I think we'll run to her. That's okay.
Go for it.
Last week, I ran away from home. I did. I went back to Ludding, Scottsdale, Michigan, where I used to live, and stayed with a friend. She has a son who's in his 40s, I'm sure. He's like 6'4". He's been in prison. He's had a lot of problems. You could tell by looking at him, he had emotional stress. And he played on the computer all day long. But they were building, it was a game where they were building houses and construction and stuff. But he had those bad games where you worship the devil and stuff before. And just before I left, I gave him the book. And I wrote in it, yes, he loves even you. And I prayed. And because my friend Barbara said if I gave it to her, and she'd give it, he'd get mad and throw it at her. So Barbara and I are praying. The book is there on the table when I talked to her this yesterday. And I said, the Holy Spirit's going to draw him to that book. He may pick it up and look at the cover. He may put it down. He may open an index, but he's going to keep being drawing him to that book until he reads it and gives his life to Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, on Mondays I go to Courtside Ministry from 8 o'clock in the morning till about noon. And we minister, and everybody going to court are going in there because they've been arrested or in trouble. And so I have a little card, one about alcohol, one about narcotics, one about divorce, one about fatherless. And it, my little card says chapter 4, chapter 10. Well, the other day, chapter 4, this person got pulled over because he was drunk and so forth. And I opened up the book and showed him page 4, and it says, I took my first drink on the 7th grade, and I also had marijuana and everything, and I told him everything, and it was just really a blessing, and I handed the book to him and so forth, and the testimony was great, and I could go on, but it's good.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You know, and some might say, well, what kind of testimonies were those? You didn't say anybody got saved. Now listen, it ain't up to us to get people saved. It's up to us to lift him up. And what both of those people testified was they lifted up Jesus so the Holy Spirit could now do the work. Our second speaker, Carla, would you come? As you go, hear and obey the voice of God. And I will say, she has been a good role model for me. I watch her, and she hears and obeys.
In John 10:27, it says, "My sheep," that's all of us, "hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In Jeremiah 7:23, it says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk you in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." So obeying God's voice will be well for us. So if we want to be well with God, let's obey his voice. Beginning of the year, I think it was, we were traveling and we were in the state of Georgia. And we were in the breakfast area, and we were eating, and I seen this lady, and it looked like, you know, it was like a mother and maybe two daughters. And help me to get my phone the way I want it to be. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry.
There he goes. Thank you, Lord.
And so I walked over to her, and I said, "I want to give you this gift." And so I gave her, I showed her where our pictures were at, showed her where our stories were at. And I said, "This is a gift for you." And I just felt like I was supposed to come up to you. Maybe there's something you're going through. So she took it, and, you know, she left, went up to her room or whatever. Jim and I were still eating breakfast. Well, she came back down to the table, and she was in tears. And she just says, "Thank you so much. You just don't know what that means to me for you to give me that gift." And I heard the voice of God saying, "You need to pray with her." So I called her aside, over to the side of the where we were at there, and I said, "Can I pray with you?" And she said, "Yes." So, you know, I asked her what her needs were. So right there, you know, I prayed over her. A few weeks later, I get an email, and this is what it says. She goes, "So this is probably one of the hardest things I have done. I don't know you other than reading your story. We are alike, and I think that is why God showed me to you. We met at that hotel in Georgia. You saw me and said you thought I was going through troubled times. You prayed with me. I was hesitant about reading the book. I read a few of the stories. Really, the first one was yours and then your husband's. We are pretty much living the same life. I have faith, lots of faith, and sometimes the world can get in the way. I know, however, that God's love is unending. My husband is an alcoholic. He goes to church, and I feel like he's wearing a mask. He won't let God in. I have wanted him to change in a lot of ways. He is definitely not the man he used to be. He is much better now. I'm still wanting for him to turn everything over to the Lord. I was in a Bible study last night, and we were blessed to have Priscilla Shire as a guidance for us women. She said in one of her messages that us women come into each other's lives to help one another, because we have experienced some of the same. After reading your story and her message, I just wanted to reach out and say, thank you for seeing me and praying with me, and please continue to do so. Love, the stranger in the hotel, Renee." And so we have to make a choice whenever we are encountered with somebody, as we decide we're going to write our story and we're going to be carriers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And am I going to obey God now and use the story, not just write it, but use it to God's glory to bless someone's life? I was in Walmart one day, and I had my mother-in-law in there. And, you know, of course, she doesn't have a cell phone. So when it's time for us to go, I have to go find her. And as I'm trying to find her, there's a lady in a motorized cart, and I know I was supposed to stop. And I said, "God, I got a lot of errands to run." And he would not let me pass her by. So I turned around and I said, "Hi, what's your name?" And she told me her name, and I shook her hand and I said, "I have a little gift for you." And I started showing her the book. And she's like, "Oh, that is so awesome. Thank you so much." And I said, "Do you have any prayer needs?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And so I said, "Let me pray with you." So we prayed together right there in Walmart. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we can do that. And I got done praying, ministering to her, gave her a big hug, look up, and here's my mother-in-law coming down one of the aisles. So thank you, Lord. We got through the checkout line, and we got to get the rest of our errands done. But in ourself, we think, God, I don't have time for this right now. I'm in a hurry. You know I got this and this and this to do. But God says, I'm on a different time frame, and you can most assuredly stop and take time for that lady who needs my blessing right now and needs those words of encouragement and needs that book and needs to be prayed for. So God makes up the time. Because for him, he's the God, he's infinity, he knows no time. We're limited to time. But if we just trust him, he can increase that time. And everything gets accomplished. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Now, I want to point out, I probably said this before, but I'll say it again. You just heard from a lady that for the first 25 years of her Christian life, 25 years of her Christian life, did not share her faith. She was afraid. But then God got a hold of her husband and saved him. And then he taught both of us how to write our testimonies and share them to his glory. So I don't care if it's been 50 years and you haven't shared your faith. You can start soon. The first step is write your testimony to the glory of God. I'm going to ask Veronica to come now and give us 2 minutes. And I know you'll be blessed.
Good morning. So I have had to ask myself this one question. Why have I not shared my testimony with others? As I thought about it, here's my answer. Because I heard pastors say it, I told myself I would go, but I never did. The truth is when I wasn't taught how, when I didn't see others doing it, I didn't do it either because I had no motivation. In 2014, I started a business with Avon. I started to hand out books to get customers. I would plan to talk to strangers about it. And then the Lord spoke to me saying, if I'm brave enough and bold enough to advertise a business, I can also do I can be his representative and share the love of Jesus to lost souls and be about my Father's business, which is even greater, more rewarding. And he will bless us when we do that. The goal is to win, instead of fishing for money, we're fishing for men and women for the kingdom of God. It wasn't until Carol Ann started equipping us at the healing rooms that I was going through, at first I was going through the motions until I decided that I was going to take it seriously, and I got my story in Lighthouse Edition 7. When I wrote my testimony, the books were finally hitting Brantford, and I wanted to call Carol Ann and beg her to take the books back because the enemy was lying to me. And so God reminded me that, you know, our misery becomes our ministry, and that's what this is all about. So one thing I can say about sharing the books and writing my testimony is that, you know, sharing these books is very rewarding when you hand them out to people. You know, being bold for Jesus, it's so rewarding to hand them out and, you know, share your story. Because one time a lady shared that she had struggled with fantasy personality. If she had not shared that, I would not have come out of the closet myself, and I would not be standing here today free. And that's what this is all about, to see people hungry and ready to receive the books. God bless.
So get this. The Holy Spirit is going to convince you at some point to write your testimony. And maybe he already has, but you've let the other guy talk you out of it. That battle is going to keep going on and on and on and on until you write your story. And then after it's written, he's going to hit you again and say, don't pass them out. Because he wants to stop you, because he doesn't want the truth to set you and other people free. So we all have a testimony, and there's somebody out there that needs to hear every one of our stories. We're going to continue now with As You Go, Hear and Obey the Voice of God. Jim Cates, would you come?
Part of the house, huh?
Yeah.
Go for it, brother.
He says go. He says pray. It's as simple as get your supplies and head out the door. Be like Nike and just do it. Pick up your stuff and go. Act, do, move. Take a step in the direction you know he is telling you to go in. He says tell, so speak up. Start conversation with someone and look for an opportunity to bring up what God has done in your life. Pray. Before you go to bed, thank him for the day that he brought you through. When you wake, thank him for another day and ask him to reveal opportunities to be a witness, to be an example of his kingdom to someone. Show someone the character of Jesus. To do that, you must first hear him. To hear him, you must pray. Communicate, talk to God. Then listen, look and listen. He speaks to us in many ways. Numbers, confirmations, prophetic utterances, dreams, visions, thoughts that pop in your head that are not your own, a feeling of urgency in your spirit. He even occasionally speaks to us audibly. For me, when I get a response from God, it's usually in the form of a question. Crazy coincidences can occur several times to confirm an answer you were seeking from him. He could send a total stranger to you to tell you something you need to know or hear. It could be as simple as someone coming up to you and giving you a big hug. Read his word. I usually get downloaded with much revelation while reading his word. It is such a joy to hear from him while meditating upon his word. Situations change, perspectives change. Put on worship music and love on him. Spend time just soaking in his presence. It's life for your soul. It also helps in the renewing of your mind. You can go back to your everyday life with renewed perspective. In most cases, you will find that you handle situations very differently after spending time with him versus not spending time with him. Regardless of what you fill your time with, if he's not in it, it profits you nothing. Pick up your books and walk. Who am I supposed to give this book to, Lord? Don't forget to grab an extra book before you go in there. Every single day is an opportunity to bring God's kingdom to someone. Every time you go anywhere, even to check the mail, you may cross paths with someone who needs to be exposed to the light of Jesus. If they could just see Jesus in your eyes, in your actions. When the Spirit prompts you to say or do something, don't hesitate. He will fill your mouth with what to say. And you will find yourself doing God's will because you are being led by the Spirit of God. It doesn't have to be just giving out books. That's a great start. But God wants us to mature beyond that. He wants us to learn how to communicate with the Holy Spirit and be able to discern what the Spirit wants to do in each situation. Get to closely know the Holy Spirit, intimately. Get to know the Spirit of God so well that his emotions signals to you that something is going on. You know to inquire instantly what is going on in the spirit realm. You become extra sensitive to the movements and the prompting of God's Spirit. That is maturing in the Spirit. It pleases God as you obey and practice being a witness. Your faith gets stretched and therefore increases. Love on him. Listen to him. Practice and learn. Repeat. That is being his disciple. Every day we have the chance to listen and learn how to walk as Jesus did. Do what Jesus did. How to love as Jesus did. If we are willing to take the tools available to us and apply it to our daily routine, take a book with you everywhere you go. Always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. Listen intently who you should give a book to. If you get an uneasy feeling when considering someone to witness to, consider another option. If the uneasiness leaves and you have peace about it, that's probably the one. As we go, listen. Have your spiritual antenna raised at all times, expecting to receive a message, because the messages are being sent. God is always speaking to us, but we usually aren't listening. We are not tuned in to the right channel. Our focus is off. The distractions of this life tries to keep us off focus from him. So we must be diligent to take the steps necessary to continually reset our focus on him and our task at hand, which is bring his kingdom to those that cross our path. Perhaps it's through a praise report to a coworker. Boy, God sure has blessed me recently. I managed to pay all my bills this month, give tithe and offering, pick up extra needed supplies for the house, and I'm moving into my new place. I don't know how I was going to do it, but God provided extra funds and brought me through. Or maybe it's introducing yourself to a stranger at the DMV, showing them that you are part of a group of authors that want to encourage others who are struggling to press on. Because there is a God who loves us, there is still hope, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and the stories in the book prove that God is good. This copy is for you. By the way, everyone's contact information is at the end of their story if you have any questions or want to reach out. And do you need prayer for anything? All right. Well, my story is chapter 8. You have a blessed day. So here, go and obey.
Sue, would you come?
From the first time I heard about the real life storybooks about a little over a year ago, I was so excited and I knew I needed to write out my testimony. I knew there was going to be freedom in my life and joy, and I also had a heart and I wanted to get out there and reach the lost. So this was going to be the perfect tool, and it makes walking up to someone that, and handing them the book, it makes it easy to start up a conversation with a complete stranger. And I find so much joy giving out these books, being led by the Holy Spirit, having divine encounters. And I was excited as well to hand out these books under the reserve, my home reserve, and bring the gospel to the natives. So I did that a week ago, and I gave a book to a friend of mine I've known for 38 years. And she shared the book with her sister. I got a call 4 days ago from her sister, and her sister said, I just read your story. I'm so proud for you. I'm so happy that you're happy for once in your life. And it was just encouraging for me knowing that the seed is being spread and God's word is being spread to the lost. And she said, I always wondered if there was a God, and I wasn't sure, but she said, now that I read your story and I know you personally, she goes, now I know there's a God, and I want to go to church with you. So it's encouraging the lost, showing them the love of God, and there's a lot of joy in that. And there's a lot of joy being involved in the will of the Father and being a carrier of hope with these books. And I can't express the happiness in doing it. And once you start doing it, it gets easier and easier. And your life becomes more fulfilled. You have happiness and joy that you never experienced before. And you don't get that just from sitting in a church Sunday and Wednesday night. There's more to the love of God than just being in church. And that's what I was unhappy with. I thought, there's got to be more. And that's what this is. It's more. And it's for God's glory.
Thank you. We're going to continue with the message as you go, hear and obey the voice of God. Tali, would you come?
Hear and obey the voice of God. Listening does not come easy all the time. The ability to listen can be deafened by distractions and the busyness of life. I must admit that I have answered my kids with an wait, what did you say? In these moments, I have to tune out the background noise and tune into my child. It is the same when we are listening to God. Much is accomplished when we tune in to hear the Holy Spirit and obey his voice. We all know the story of Jonah. Jonah heard the voice of God and was given an assignment. Jonah did not want to carry out the plan of God. He ran from God. Ultimately, he could not run from his assignment or God. How much better would it have been for Jonah to go straight to Nineveh and preach against it than to be swallowed by a great fish? Yet in that hopeless moment, Jonah called to the Lord and Jonah repented. Much was accomplished and Jonah was ready to obey. In contrast, Daniel was a man who sought out and obeyed the voice of God. King Nebuchadnezzar was very angry that no wise man could interpret his dream. So he issued a decree to put them to death. Men were sent to look for Daniel to execute him. Daniel was brought before the king and asked the king for time to interpret the dream. Daniel returned to his house and asked his friends to plead for mercy from the God from heaven in prayer. Daniel spent time alone with God, and the Lord revealed the dream to Daniel, which spared his life. Personally, I can testify to much that has been accomplished in my life because of hearing and obeying the voice of the Lord. About 10 years ago, my husband Eddie and I bought our first Doberman, Stormy. During that process, we researched the breed, and we were awed by a champion named Obi-Wan Kenobi from Europe. His picture was all over the internet, and we marveled at how beautiful he was. Some years later, as Storm got older, Eddie and I would graze the internet looking at Dobermans here in the United States. We noted a kennel called Lyle's European Dobermans. Eddie would barter with Mr. Lyle's about his prices, but the dogs were out of our price range. He would contact Mr. Lyle's every 6 months and ask for a discounted price on a Doberman. At some point, Mr. Lyle's must have been annoyed with Eddie's persistence, or maybe he didn't have any dogs for sale because he didn't answer us back for a time. Moving forward in time to less than 2 years ago, our beloved Doberman, Storm, was diagnosed with tumors. We agreed that we should buy another dog before Storm got too sick, and we started looking for another dog. We had settled on a dog from a kennel close by, even though our heart's desire was a Lyle's European Doberman. The evening before we were going to go look at this nearby dog, Eddie had a crazy idea. He said, maybe I should contact Mr. Lyle's and see what he thinks about this breeder. I laughed and I thought, my husband Eddie is absolutely nuts. But he wrote a Facebook Messenger message to Mr. Lyle's and sent it. That night I prayed a prayer to ask the Lord if buying this Doberman was the right decision, and I got a no, this is not the dog. Then another prayer rose up in me for no apparent reason at all. Not that I knew, but God did. I asked God to open up the door to breeding Dobermans as another avenue of income, if it was his will. The next day, Eddie got a phone call from Mr. Lyle's. To our surprise, Mr. Lyle's offered us an incredible discount on one of his champions if we would agree to have one litter of pups and share the profits. His exact words to Eddie were, I don't know why I'm offering you this, but for some reason I am. We prayed, and God said yes. So we picked Ruby, our beautiful female Doberman Pinscher, up. During the next few months, I realized that this dog was much different than Storm. Ruby was very protective and had much more energy than Storm. I began to question myself. Was I really hearing God, and was this your will, God? I really felt that God said, you prayed and I opened the door. Trust me. Summertime came, and Mr. Lyles began to form a relationship with Eddie by training the dogs. He offers training to customers who are local for free. We learned that Mr. Lyles was a born-again Christian, and discussions were mostly always about the Lord and Dobermans. One day when Eddie was at Mr. Lyle's training, he called me laughing. Tolly, Eddie said, you are not going to believe how good God is. Mr. Lyle's just showed me who the father of his dog is, and you will never believe this. Santo's father is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Wow.
I almost fell to the ground in laughter because I just knew how good God is. The best part about hearing and obeying God in all of this was what was to come. We were in a season when my husband changed careers and my dog Ruby had her first litter right on time. We needed that money through the transition. The Lord had prepared it for us beforehand. I thank God for his provision and the relationship that Mr. Lyles and Eddie have seeking the word of God and God's will together. Mr. Lyles is a blessing to our family and we are a blessing to him. He has even grasped the vision of Lighthouse Books and he gives them away. I would challenge all of you today to listen and obey the voice of God. God will lead us on the right path when we acknowledge him in each decision. Die daily to yourself and be led by the Holy Spirit. Get alone in a quiet place and talk to him. Ask him, what is your will for me today, Lord? Maybe he will tell you to warn a nation, interpret a dream, or buy a dog. Maybe he will tell you to leave a book on a bench, pray for your waitress, or buy that coffee for that man. You can be sure that when you're obedient to the Lord's will, great kingdom things are being accomplished. I am grateful that I have been discipled by Step by Step Ministries. I am in awe of the fruit that I have seen in over 2 years by carrying Lighthouse Books. I would encourage you to write your testimony out and be part of advancing the kingdom of God.
Man, 1 second to spare. Girl, right on. This is not in the notes. This is prophetic. Every person that you have heard from today has a fivefold ministry call on their life. That call was never recognized until they first wrote their story to the glory of God and started sharing your faith. If your fivefold ministry call has not come into its fullness or fruition, it's because it starts when you start sharing your faith. We are all called to share our faith. It's awful quiet. I love it when it's quiet. Holy Spirit's at work. He's touching some hearts. We normally don't do this in any of the sessions, but we are today because God says to do it, and it's a breakthrough time. Carol Ann, I want you to come and share your salvation testimony. This will be the second one for this time. We usually don't do it, but there's a reason for it.
Before I start, God said, if you knew me back then, you wouldn't have recognized me, what's standing before you today. I was born and raised in Montreal, Quebec, in a Catholic family with an older sister, younger brother, mom, and dad. I feared the wrath of God instead of knowing his love or having a personal relationship with him. I was abused several times from my early age. It started at the age of three, then five, then eight, nine, 12, by either a relative or a friend of the family. And from the age of 14 to 24, I was continually criticized and ridiculed. At the age of 24, I wanted to take my life. I experienced anger, great fear, anxiety, worry, distress, isolation, and great depression. The abuse isolated me to believe lies about my value. I was worthless, deserving of the abuse, and would never amount to anything. I turned to food to cover the pain. I fell into compulsive eating, anorexia, bulimia for several years. I starved myself to wither my body to try and stop the abuse. Oh, how the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God put a high calling upon my life, and the enemy did not want those plans of God to go forth in my life or allow me to live up to the full potential of why God created me. In my second year at university, I joined a food recovery program where I met a godly woman who told me, God either is or he is not. You need to pick one. If he is, you have to acknowledge everything about him, whether you understand it or not. If he's not, then you need to dismiss everything about him. Since I was still alive at 24, I had to concede that God is because I was still alive. She next said, unless you turn your will and your life over completely to his care and surrender to him, you will go back to that food addiction. I felt caught between a rock and a hard place. My fear of food obsession collided with my fear of Jesus, because I did not know his love yet. A week later, in a university parking lot, I looked up to heaven and I said, Jesus, I don't know what you're going to do with me, but I surrender everything to you, my life and all of who I am. Jesus took my old broken life and replaced it with a brand new life in him. I felt his sudden peace fill my entire body. I was now adopted into the family of God, and now God's daughter. Today, what the enemy meant as a way to destroy me, God is using for his glory. The love of Jesus has made it possible for me to forgive all who hurt me. I also have the privilege of leading others into steps of repentance and forgiveness because the love of Jesus set me free from bitterness and resentment. Can I just read that? Yep. I was once happy, contented, seat-warming Christian. You want to know who I am right now? I was once a happy, content, seat-warming Christian in a local church, just like this beautiful one. Then something happened to me. I came into contact with a mighty move of God through real-life story Christian books, and our lives, my life, and our lives were transformed forever. I started meeting once a month and then once a week, leading and training and equipping others to do what I had been trained and equipped to do, sharing the love of Jesus and giving it giving God the glory with my story. Now I am an on-fire, bold witness. I have become what the Bible commissioned me to be. Be my witnesses into all the land, Acts 1:8. Today, I get to share my story everywhere I go, bring the message of forgiveness, freedom, hope, encouragement to those I meet. Now, I encourage others to write their testimonies because of the great freedom I received in writing my story. And souls are coming to Christ because we wrote our testimonies, put them in a book, God equipped, and learning to go where Holy Spirit leads us to get these stories into the hands of the nations and be a part of transforming the world for Christ. Thank you.
To use my phone notes for this one. We are all carriers of hope. Every one of us. How big is your faith? However many books you take with you, the Holy Spirit will make that many opportunities. I tested this by bringing 13 books on a walk. Before I got to my truck, all 13 books had been personally handed out. Just came back from Tennessee about a week and a half ago. On day one, heading out there, I gave 2 books at gas stations on the way. Day 3, gave 5 to people at garage sales. I gave 3 out at a flea market. On day 4, I gave 2 to a church. And ironically, the Holy Spirit, before I left for my vacation, was telling me I should bring some prison books. And I'm like, why am I going to bring prison books? So, yeah, I get to this church, and they have a huge prison ministry, so I didn't have the books. My bad. Day 5, I gave 4 out in Gatlinburg, 1 at a bookstore, and I gave 3 to the people that were ringing people up at the chairlift to go to that new Anakista thing that they got. So they were passing them around when I came back. It was awesome. Praise God. Day 6, I gave 1 to a lady at the gas station in Ohio. I also left a case of books with my mom and her sister to give out. And they are giving them out, which is awesome. Praise God. Day 7, I gave 1 to a lady at the gas station. And there's actually an interesting story on that one. I made it all the way to Indiana from Tennessee on 1 tank of gas. And so my light came on, and I'm like, I have to get gas at the next exit. So I took the next exit, and the gas station is under construction. So I had to turn left, and I'm going down this country road for probably 4 or 5 miles before I finally get to civilization. And the first place that has a gas station is a Kroger's super mega store or something like that. And so I go there, and it's no coincidence. This lady seemed really angry and frustrated at something, and so I'm getting my gas, and I pay for it, and I give her a book, and she's just like, just put it in the drawer. And I'm like, my story is chapter 8. You have a great day. Day 9, most of the book displays at the laundromat, most of the books in the book display were empty, so that's about 30 books that I got to fill in the laundromat, and I got to talk to somebody at the laundromat that I knew and gave him a book and told him my story, part of my story, while I was talking to him.
Amen. Spanish book, please. And just hold that for a second. Okay, this is the challenge. We're going to be back here, I think, in July. So your challenge now is write your testimony. That's number one. Get it done so we can get it typed up and in a 3-fold flyer so you can start giving those away. In the meantime, start giving out books. Carry 2 in hand and simply say, Holy Spirit, help me to do this. I don't know how to do this, Holy Spirit. I'm afraid, Holy Spirit. I can't do this without you, Holy Spirit. You see, we got to learn to make the Holy Spirit our best friend. The Holy Spirit. See, Jesus walked with his disciples, but he doesn't walk with us in the same way in the flesh. He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit walks with us, but we have to make the decision to allow him to walk with us. So now you take your books. Holy Spirit, help me to do this, help me to give these books away. Holy Spirit, help me to love people. That's what we learned last time. And now we're going to add to that, while I'm going, Holy Spirit, and I'm giving my books away, I'm loving people, now, Holy Spirit, help me to hear and obey your voice, Father God. And if you'll practice that, when I say popcorn testimony next time, you will be running up here with a story to tell to the glory of God. How many will practice that? Let me see some hands. Come on. If you don't mean it, don't put your hand up. But if you do mean it, God saw your hand, and he's going to hold you accountable. He's going to be talking to you. You know, one of the things I love about being in a prophetic house is my gift of prophecy comes out more than it normally does. So we're going to end in the way that I felt God said to end. Apostle Janet, I'd like you to come and stand with me. Apostle Leonard, I'd like you to come and stand with me as well. This book cover is in Spanish. This is Lighthouse Edition 7. It is nothing more at this point than a dream. It's just a seed. It's a dream. Just like the Trucker's book was, just like the original Lighthouse 7, just like Lighthouse 6 and all of the ones before it. But here's the one I really want you to see now, is the next one. If you could put that cover up. The Veterans Edition. Real Life Stories Veterans Edition. Could there be any better day than Memorial Day than to birth this book into existence? And the reason I'm doing it this way, I felt like the Lord said I was to ask you to declare the birthing of this book here today of an apostolic figure and authority over this region. So I just want to ask you to pray and declare that the Spanish book will come and the veterans book will come. Thank you for having us. I can't tell you how much it means to us to be able to pour in to the people of God.